Greetings, and welcome to Bear's Soup. News, interviews, skews, and schmooze for the online Ursine community. I'm your host, Ron Serratia. Ahead in this 86th episode of Bear Soup, which is brought to you by the Bookish Bears at Bare Bones Books, we have an exclusive, no-holds-barred interview with Steve O'Harris, publisher of A Bear's Life magazine. The selection from Armistead Maupin's latest Mary Ann in Autumn. We're locked and loaded, so stand back. You're just in time for Bear Soup. We are here with Steve Harris, the publisher of A Bear's Life magazine, and we welcome you back to the show.
Good morning, Ron, and good morning to all the listeners. Happy New Year to everyone.
Great. Well, we love having you also on Bear Radio with your new song, Deception.
Thank you.
So that's always a treat. And to my understanding, you have a kind of big announcement for A Bear's Life, and I'm all ears.
Great. I do, Ron. When I spoke to you via Facebook a couple of weeks ago, I told you that I did want to make an announcement on your show. And basically what the announcement is that I'm looking at the wall with the last issue to print, to actually be on paper for Bear's Life. After this issue goes to press, which will be within the next week and a half for the winter issue, we will then be all digital. Of course, we'll be sending an announcement out to all the readers and subscribers, and the bookstores already know, and they're awaiting the last issue. But I wanted to make the formal announcement on your show.
Well, that's quite a surprise, and we thank you for the scoop, so to speak. This is so what brought you to make this change? Obviously, we had spoken before about the challenges now of doing a print magazine. So what's been happening?
Well, you know, Ron, there's been so much that's been happening. And again, I want to thank you for giving me the forum to speak out and let the community know what's happening. You know, the marketplace for print over the past 2 years has just been dreadful. So many magazines, major magazines, take a look at Newsweek and take a look at Modern Bride. I mean, major magazines that just shut their doors. And they shut their doors because not only did cost of paper go up, and of course the economy hit us with advertisers pulling out of their contracts and finding it so hard to pay the contracts that they had, but people were struggling in buying magazines. They had other things to do and other things to buy besides paper. And so it hit us hard, too. 5 years, it's been a rough ride. I can proudly say that over the past 5 years, we've supported the community with over $127,000 in contributions to the Bear Clubs and organizations to help them survive.
Wow.
But, now it's been really tough for us with losing the bulk of our advertising. We lost almost 60% of our major advertisers because of the economy, and that really hurt us. You know, in talking with the attorneys and the people who support us, we felt that the best route to go at the moment is to go to digital only. So, as I said, I'm looking at the last print magazine to go. And then that will go to press, and of course it will also go digitally to those people who have a digital subscription, and then we'll go from there. It's also been a very rough year for me, Ron. My father is very ill with Alzheimer's disease, and it's taking everything out of our family. I mean, thank God my brother is holding down the fort for all of us, but it's been a very, very rough ride dealing with that. And again, there have been changes in the marketplace for print. The economy hurt everyone over the past 2 years. So we're exploring all alternative options that become available to us, and I certainly wouldn't exclude anyone from the community of offering us options. But we've cut back considerably, and we're being very cautious until we reorganize. And we've been there for the community for the past 5 years, and I really hope that the community will be there for us.
Well, let me just say, Steve, that I'm very sorry to hear about your father, and that our thoughts are with you.
Yeah, I have to tell you, Ron, I think, you know, the bear community, you know, there's so many of us that are middle-aged men, and this is the time in our lives where, you know, we become our parents' parents. And I never dreamed that I would be in a position where every day is a decision-making day, and it's just very, very tough. And, you know, besides running a business, and of course, we launched Diversity Platinum, which is doing very, very well, and which I'm thrilled about. But, you know, having, you know, Diversity Platinum and Bear's Life and the song, the songs that I released, so many things going on, and then to deal with, you know, losing a parent. And it just becomes very, very difficult. And you've got to make some choices. I think that the choices that we're making are the right choices. I think the choices that we're making for the community are the right choices. But again, you know, we've supported the community for so many years. And, you know, I'm reaching out. I'm reaching out to my community and saying, help us here. Help us here. There's so many talented men in our community. And I hope I get some response back. That would be wonderful to hear from them.
Well, we'll see what we can do. I, of course, do wish you all the best of luck. Now, A Bear's Life is already offered digitally. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. It is offered digitally. The new issue will be sent out digitally, I believe, by the end of this week. Mm-hmm. And then the paper version will be printed the following week after. And then we'll be proceeding from there.
So people can actually subscribe on using their e-reader, their Kindle, now I guess even their, you know, their iPhones, etc. Is that correct?
Yes, yeah, so that's correct. Yes, that is correct. The issue that is due out is the online issue, and it really talks about, you know, how the world has really gone online. And it was coming. It was the wave of the future. And, you know, looking at newspapers these days and how thin they are, you realize that everyone depends on the internet for everything. And is that a good thing? I'm not exactly sure. But I'm keeping hopes up that, you know, we will continue, and we will continue to support the community. I think that there are so many issues out there that need to be addressed. And, I welcome any comments or suggestions or even additions to the magazine from the community. They've always been supportive, and I'm looking forward to their support.
Yeah, Steve, give us the website and or email contact where the folks can find out what's going on with the Bear's Life magazine and with you.
Sure. The website is www.abearslifemag.com. They can go there. I'm sure we'll be getting calls to the office, and Tracy will be handling those probably the end of the week. We've got so much to catch up on. It's quite incredible. But again, I mean, we're still here. As I said, we launched Diversity Platinum back in October, and that is doing very, very well. We're in negotiations right now. Of course, you know, the Trevor Project came on board with Diversity Platinum. And now the Matthew Shepard Foundation is interested in coming on board, as well as the AIDS Assisted Program in Palm Springs. So we have a lot of great beneficiaries. We've added almost 300 new businesses on board the card all over the world. So that's growing rapidly, and I hope the community embraces that. And we're doing our best here. You know, I think people forget, Ron, that we're a business. You know, even though we're so community-oriented, we're a business like everybody else. I mean, we're so, you know, we're not Vogue and we're not Newsweek. We're a small little business, and when the economy affects everyone, it affects us. People have to realize that we're in business to make money too, and if we don't do that, then we can't survive.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's true with the bare bones books titles that have come out over the last few years. They do still sell hard copies, but at this point now, we do sell more ebooks than we sell hard copies. That's just the way things have happened over the last couple of years.
And very honestly, Ron, it's certainly interesting because the bookstores are hurting as well. And what they did was is that they raised their take and percentages on what they were getting from the magazines because they lost so many of them. So where we were making $1.60, only $1.60 from the bookstores, we got a notice about 4 or 5 months ago that dropped from $1.60 to $1.20. So, you know, really, we're being hurt in every direction, and I think this is a positive step. I just think that the community and has to take a deep breath and realize that we're here, we're doing our best to give us a little bit of a break to give us some time to reorganize. But we're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere.
Yeah. Well, what else do you think is changing in the bear community at present?
I have to tell you, Ron, you know, it's really funny. I see the bears every week at different functions, and as much as I feel that I'm a part of the community, I've always also felt that I'm like looking into the fishbowl as to being in the fishbowl. And I see a lot of changes within the community. It's very sad that IBR will conclude this year with its last year. And I think that that's another sign of the times. I think that what's happened is that the community has spread thin, meaning that, you know, before the community was very specific, and now, and which is a good thing, is that there's more people coming in, there's more people that feel that they want to be part of our community. But I think they've lost the whole feeling of community. I think one of the reasons why IBR has failed over the past couple of years is because so many people went to San Francisco to party and support the bars, they forgot that they had to support the actual event. And when you don't buy run tickets and when you don't participate in the event itself and you only support the bars, the only people who are making money are the bars. And, you know, I put on Big Bear Adventure in August and we're gearing up for that as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I make it very clear to the people who attend that they've got to pay for the event. In order for the event to continue, people have to support it. And I think that people have just gotten so used to not supporting events, but going to them, that's why the events are hurting. You know, we went to an event last March and, you know, we supported the event. You know, we gave them a donation of almost $1,800 to support them. And we walked away making $150 from the event. And a lot of the vendors were in the same position. And I think that the bear community needs to stop and they need to realize that, you know, It is about meeting people and about having fun and going to dances and drinking, but it's also, we're only a niche of a very large community. And unless the bears support that part of this community, it's going to be an empty bowl. And we really have to start looking at that very, very closely. We've got to start supporting our own. And I've been saying that for years. And I knew the writing was on the wall, and it's just it's very tough to watch, especially when you're part of it. And, you know, and there's not a whole lot you can do to stop it, but just say what's on your mind, and that's what I've been doing. I want this community to continue and be strong, but I say to my fellow bear community members, they must support the events. It's great to go out and drink. It's great to go out and party, but they need to support the events themselves. Those events are going to go away. And when we lose those events, we're going to lose our community. So, if I say anything that makes a difference to anyone out there, it's that you need to support the community and you need to support the businesses that support our community because they can't do it anymore. There's so many bear businesses that are closing because they're not being supported by their own. Does that make sense, Fern?
Oh, it does, and it's a common complaint. Freddie Freeman, who's a bear musician.
I love Freddie.
And well-loved in the community. And he has complained for a long, long time that Bear listeners do not buy necessarily Bear music. They'll buy everything else.
Right. And one of the things that I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago when we talked about this interview is I was going to be very frank. You know, for 5 years, it's been very difficult. So many people see me and having such corporate clients that support us, it's very difficult to be outspoken. You know, you have to watch your P's and Q's, be very careful where you go or where you end up or who you end up with, because, you know, someone is always watching. Someone's always out to say something out there. And so I feel that I owe it to the community to be frank and say, you know, it's really important. We've grown as a community, and as much as we've grown, we still have sectors out there that I'm not understanding. You know, the whole A-list bears and you know, B-list bears. We have to remember where we came from. You know, we became a community. We segregated ourselves to get away from being segregated and mocked. And I go to some of these events, and I see the same thing being done to other people in our community. I see that some of the bigger guys are separated because the muscle guys don't want to deal with them or don't want to associate with them. And we need to put those boundaries down. We need to take down those walls, because if we start becoming what we ran away from, we are going to crumble as a community. And I say that very strongly. I feel that in my heart. I think that everyone needs to be accepted. I know that there was an article in one of the periodicals a couple of months ago that said that the chubbier guys should not be part of the bear community. And all I can say is that we all are one. We've got to remember where we came from. We've got to accept everybody. You know, I'm not saying we have to sleep with everybody, but we've got to be nice to everyone. We've got to accept one another, and we've got to help one another. This is a time where we need each other. And if we start segregating each other, we are going to be in big trouble. I think the community has to just come together. We need to start coming together and support one another. And I think that that's been lacking. I really do. I think that with the community, I think some of the things that the community has done in raising money for charities has been wonderful. But we need to look at home first. And we need to take a look at ourselves and say, what are we doing here? We need to support one another. And that has to start at home, and it has to start with the bear clubs. It has to start with the bear producers. I see bear events going after one another. You know, there's two events in Orlando, and there's two events here going against each other. And you know what? It's not a good thing. I think we need to work together. And I think when that happens again, the community will get a whole lot stronger. We need to work together. We need to be one.
Do you think, Steve, that there might ever be some sort of organized bear leadership conference or perhaps an online group? How might that come about?
I have to tell you, Ron, I really thought about that. I really, you know, it's funny. 3 years ago, I sat in my room one night and I thought to myself, you know, there really should be an alliance. But the problem with that is, it's the same thing that happens with bear events. It's the same thing that happens with bear clubs. Everyone wants to be a leader, and everybody wants to have a say. But, you know, there's a lot of chefs in the kitchen, but there's not a lot of cooks. The problem is that, you know, people have to give in. They have to realize that if they want something to work, that everyone has to work. And if you take a look at the bear runs around the country, they're the guys who are there every single year who you see sweating and running and rapping and up all night doing tables and this and that. And everyone else is having a great time. And you see those same people every single year doing the same thing. And you wonder, when is a new group going to come in? When are other people going to help? Unless we get a new group of people, a fresh blood coming in here, and we get people who want to really band together, it's going to make it very difficult. I know that the bear community is, you know, to have a specific leader or a specific group, it makes it very difficult because everyone wants to have their own group. But I really believe that if this community is going to get stronger and really pull itself together, we really do need an organization that's going to really look at all of this. I mean, you know, to monitor all the events, to make sure that the events aren't going against each other. You know, we should have one company that does the badges for everybody, so we get a discount on all the badges. One company should be doing all the shirts. We really should be working together as one large team, as opposed to everyone going out on our own, because we are such a talented community. We're a bunch of very talented men, brilliant men. And sometimes I think, oh my God, what is happening here? Why aren't we working together? And yes, do I think an alliance would be the right thing to do? Yes, but will it happen? I don't know. I don't know if it can happen. I wish it would, but I don't know if it can. That's something that the community really has to decide. I'm getting a little bit older here, and I'm taking a little bit of a step back. So although I thought about it 3 years ago, there's so many other things on the plate right now. It's time for the younger generation to do something like that, not me.
Well, I understand, and I certainly would support such a kind of conference, but the chances of it self-organizing are kind of slim.
Of course. Look, there are so many new bear events popping up. When I first started years ago, there weren't as many events. You know, now we have 23, 24 events throughout the year, which is a lot of events. And I really would love to see that it would wind down to probably about 8 or 10 events where the community would work together as a group on the events, as opposed to every city having their own event.
Right.
And just move those events around the country and seeing more people being able to afford the events to come to the events, as opposed to with the tight economy, people saying, I can't do this event this year. I can't do this event this year. You know, it would be so nice to see so many more men attending events as opposed to spreading it so thin. But again, that's something that the committee has to decide, and that takes a lot of work. And it takes a lot of patience working with other organizations around the country.
Right.
It's not easy. It's just not easy.
Right, and with such a diverse crowd in the bear community as well. I wanted to give you a chance to talk about Big Bear Adventure Weekend. When and where, and give us the details.
Big Bear, in fact, we're launching the website this week, the end of this week. It's bbaweekend.com. That's bbaweekend.com. It's a Big Bear Lake, California. It's spectacular up there. We had 850 guys last year. We hosted at the Northwoods Resort, and the town is amazing. And it is a bear resort. Every store has the name Bear on it.
Wow.
And the town is welcoming. There's almost 60 restaurants, and there's a giant lake, and there'll be three dances this year at the resort, and the resort is the host hotel. You don't leave the resort. Everything is right there. The resort holds 3,000 people at one time, so we expect to grow. And the tickets go on sale. They start at $55 for the first month. We go up in increments of 10 until we get to $100 for the run, so get your tickets early. And there are still rooms left. We sold out. I believe there's only 10 rooms left at the host hotel. And then we have another, I believe, 200 rooms within the town for the other attendees. And then, of course, there's cabin rentals. I mean, it's such a beautiful place. It really is. The weather's perfect. While it's 100 degrees down below, it's only 80 degrees up on top on the mountain. And it's a great weekend. It's a weekend just to be yourself and relax and have fun with a great group of guys. Go to the website, check out the videos that we posted. It's a lot of fun. I really hope people will be there. And it's the last weekend of August, the weekend before Labor Day.
Cool. That sounds like a delightful time.
It's a great time. It's a really, really nice time. And it's a very simple event. It's very simple. It's just going out and having a great time with a great bunch of guys. We love it. It's really a nice time.
Well, that sounds great. So, Steve, thank you very much for your time and for your outspokenness, for your service to the community. Really glad that you are out there doing more than the lion's share of the work in this community. So thank you very much.
Listen, Ron, I can tell you for the past 5 years, I've been so proud, and I continue to be so proud to be a member and be considered a leader within the bear community. And I really want to just take a moment to thank everyone who supports me, everyone who texts me on Facebook to see how I'm doing. I really appreciate it out there. I really appreciate you all. And again, if you have any suggestions for Bear's Life or want to be a part of it or whatever it is, please feel free to contact me at stevo@bearslifemag.com. I would love to hear from you and really have your support. And I love you, Ron. Thank you for all your support over the years. You are an icon, and I thank you so, so much.
Well, thanks very much, Steve. That's very sweet of you. So,
thank you.
Well, we'll be in touch soon, okay?
Great. I look forward to that. Thank you.
You take good care.
Thank you, Ron.
Bye for now. The following is a selection from Armistead Maupin's latest installment in the Tales of the City novels, entitled Mary Ann in Autumn, from Chapter 3. Here, the novel follows the character of Jake, a good-natured but solitary trans bear who works for Michael Tolliver as a landscaper in San Francisco. The client went back into the house. Jake finished his jackhammering and lost himself in the arrangement of rocks on the slope. He had picked out these rocks himself at the Stoneyard in Berkeley. They were rough and honey-colored, streaked with purple and rust, and he enjoyed finding their kinship to each other as he embedded them in the soil. They were like pieces of a puzzle that he was building and solving at the same time. When all the rock was in place, he would have the entirely different satisfaction of tucking moss and soft grasses between the cracks. That was the icing on the cake. It didn't matter that he was doing this for a douche nozzle. This rock garden was Jake's when all was said and done. He would photograph it, remember it, imagine it years from now as a mossy ruin from an earlier time. His ruin, since the guy who builds something owns it forever. Even after this guy had died or moved away, this mighty tumble of golden stone would still be Jake's, solid proof of his days on Earth. He had said something like that the week before at Lou Sullivan. Not before the group or anything. He was way too shy for that. Just gabbing afterward with a hot trans dude named Rocco, who had already announced his taste for men. Jake had hoped to impress him with his devotion to his work, but ended up sounding like a total garden geek. It didn't help that a butch bio guy was lurking nearby, pretending to swig on a Snapple, but obviously ready to pounce on Rocco as soon as Jake was done boring him to death with horticulture. He left just after that, choosing solitude over disgrace. He was no good at meeting people. Even at a support group for trans folk, he felt like a visiting Martian. He had thought that would change once he made the leap, but so far, claiming another gender, even the one that came naturally to him, had merely offered new ways to feel alienated, new opportunities for humiliation. His hookups with bio guys had been one-night stands at best. The only good that had ever come from that had been meeting Michael, and thereby landing this job. A lot of bio guys were just in it for the novelty, losing interest altogether once their curiosity was satisfied. As for other trans guys, they were either cruising the Lone Star for liquored-up bio bears or flirting with the femme dykes down at the Lexington Club. They weren't looking for Jake. Still, his drive for completion never waned. In fact, once he'd begun the testosterone, the urgency for the surgery had grown even greater. So he was saving his money, biding his time until the day of deliverance. He was barely past 30 anyway. The man of his dreams could wait until the plumbing was adjusted. For the moment, at least, he was the man of his dreams, and everything else was needless distraction. Besides, there were matters far more pressing than finding a partner. Like, for instance, how to pee believably. That was less of an issue in San Francisco, where people were used to surprises, but he dreaded the thought of being clocked at a urinal in, say, Bakersfield or San Leandro. Michael, after all, often sent him off on shopping forays to nurseries in the suburban boonies. So Jake had sent away for something called a freshet, a funnel and tube urination device used by bio women on camping trips. He had worn this thing in his boxer briefs for several days before realizing, on a bus full of school kids no less, that the funnel looked like some sort of weird domed erection, so he'd trimmed the freshet down to a less disturbing size before threading its tube through the shaft of a small, cushiony dildo he'd found at Good Vibrations. They called it a packer, he'd learned that very day, and it was just what he needed. Something believable to pull out of his fly when privacy was impossible. He was getting there. This has been a selection from Armistead Maupin's new novel, Mary Ann in Autumn. Aside from the fact that it has a character named Rocco, and it mentions the Lone Star, and talks about bio bears, I just think that you really can't call writing like that assimilationist. I just think that is really pretty subversive stuff, even though written in 2010. Thanks once again to Steve Harris for that terrific interview. Thanks also to the Mermen, to Joe of BearRadio.net, and as always to my husband Rocco. And thanks to you for listening to the Bear Soup Podcast. Please email me at bearsoup@gmail.com. Check out the Bear Soup page on our newly refurbished home blog, www.bearsouppodcast.net. Bear Soup is produced for the Bear Radio Network, which is not responsible for the content of this podcast. Bubbles for the Bear Soup Hot Tub are powered by our sponsor, Bear Bones Books. Check out their fine titles by Bear authors at barebonesbooks.com, spelled BearBonesBooks. Look for Bear Soup, Bear Radio, and Bear Bones Books, also on Facebook. And always remember, sometimes you eat the bear, sometimes the bear eats you.